Hi guys. God, where is my coffee? It's 9:30. Today's June 20th. God, it's already June 20th. I can't believe the year is going so fast. Today I am in my home because I'm putting some cold water on top of my coffee. I know a lot of people are like, "We can't believe you're putting cold water on your coffee." No one said that, by the way. Just my mind and my insecurities. But I get really impatient because I love coffee so much. I want to drink it as fast as possible. And I love putting cold water on top. What an amazing coffee, you guys. So today I'm in my home, in my flat, because Ed and I don't know how, but we were invited to this patron event. Jack Conte is going to be here in New York. I mean, I think he's already here. And the lovely people from Patreon organized a lunch, because they wanted to just like catch up with people and see what is everybody doing. And lots of creators are going to be there, and they asked me if I wanted to come, and I'm like, of course. And I asked if Ed could come, because Ed is a long time big fan of Jack's work. So this is going to be really interesting. Anyway, let me sit down. I'm going to pretend all of you, that will be chaotic though, all of you are sitting down here in my living room with me. Today is a very gloomy day, my loves. Let's talk about the weather for a second. The weather in New York has been horrible. I mean, I can't complain because I lived in the UK for 3 years, and this is nothing in comparison to the UK. No offense, UK people. You have nothing to do with the weather. It's just like what it is. But it's been raining and gloomy probably the whole week. And I guess spring is like that because you need water to water the plants and everything and like get ready for the summer. But this has been too much, I think. I just feel sorry for all of the tourists who are like, "Let's go this week to New York and have an amazing time." And it's been raining, pouring rain, raining like crazy. And it's like, it's not hot, but it's so humid, you feel hot all the time. So I don't know. I measure everything in Celsius, so I'm sorry, Fahrenheit people. But it's like, I don't know, 19, 20 degrees, which is quite pleasant, but since it's like 80% humidity, you feel gross and sticky, and you open the window and you wanna shut it right away because, yeah, it's kind of thick. Like the air is thick. I don't know if I'm explaining myself. Hi guys, welcome to another Patreon podcast newsletter. Live from my living room, which is semi-messy, semi-tidy. Like, you look into different directions and you say, "Oh my god, this family is really tidy," and then you look into another, like, to another corner, and it's like, what the hell is happening here? How are you, my loves? I was reading your comments just before we went live on the Patreon, on the podcast newsletter. And thank you so much for all of your comments, my loves, regarding the projects or like the things that I'm going through. Honestly, it's been such a weird couple of weeks lately. And I am really bad at talking about this, not because it's something like really serious or like horrible, but because I'm like, no, it's going to go away, it's fine. But I've been having such a like weird couple of weeks lately, guys. Thank God it's already gone. But for the past couple of weeks, I feel stuck. Like, not stuck, but in a limbo situation, like in a waiting room. Because I've been waiting for a lot of people to get back to me. Or like, projects are not moving forward because I am waiting for someone to do something. Example. The internet in this house. And then I don't have internet in this flat because I think we're lazy. I don't know. We have been using the hotspot from the cell phone all of this time, and it's been a nightmare to install internet in this house. I don't know why, guys. The only company that can provide us for internet is Verizon, and Verizon has by far the worst customer service I've ever encountered in a company. I've been on hold for hours just to have like a brief conversation with someone. They promise they're going to get back to me and they never do. So I've been calling a couple of times during the past couple of weeks. And it's just like, it's very frustrating. They say they're going to install the internet, but then they change the date. And it looks like we're never going to have internet. I know it is an exaggeration, but it feels like we're never going to have internet. Or for example, do you remember this talk I did the beginning of the year? I went to North Carolina, to Greenville, to do a talk. They have been so slow getting back to me regarding the payment. And have you ever had those clients, guys? Where, for example, you said, okay, I'm ready. Please let me know which paperwork you need me to fill out to get paid. And they take a week to get back to you. And they say, all of these papers. And they send me a link to a website. And I clicked the link, and the link is not working. And I'm like, the link is not working. Could you please help me? And then they take another week to get back to you. And they're like, oh, sorry, this is the link. And I go to the link, and I have no idea what the instructions are or what is the paperwork that I need to fill out. And I'm like, could you please? And again, the same day I get back to them like, thank you, the link is working. Could you please let me know more specifically what paperwork is the one that I need to fill out? They take another week to get back to me, and they're like, oh, these ones. But they know they don't tell me where are that paperwork or how or anything. And they're very vague in terms of like the instructions. They're not very specific, and they take a week to get back to you. So it's been such a long time since the time they were supposed to get pay me. So that's been frustrating as well. And the other thing is about the website. Oh, you guys, my wonderful website. So as you guys know, I have a portfolio, which is working out beautifully. Thank you so much. What is wrong with me? And but now I am, my friend and I are coding the online shop, my online shop, which it was supposed to be up, I think, last month. I don't even remember. But it was supposed to be ready by mid-May. And I was so excited, and it's been taking so long for these guys to finish the website. I will say we're 80% done with the website, but the owner of the company just decided to close the company, his coding website design company. So now he's dispatching and like closing all the projects he had open. So I'm in a waiting line of many clients that he needs to help and assist before closing his company. And it's been truly a nightmare, my loves, because I'm like, I need to be understanding about this person who is having like a very horrible time, plus he's really sick right now, but he's been taking so long to help me with my website. We started working on this website for, I don't know, a year and a half ago. On and off, of course. Like I also blame myself because I was moving, and I also take part of the responsibility of why this project took so long. But now that the ball is on his side of the court, do you say that anyway? I'm like, okay, dude, I seriously need help, and it's been so frustrating, my loves. So I am in this waiting room, basically waiting for people to get back to me in order to act. And I realized, my loves, and this was something that just came a couple of days ago, in which I'm like, I can't do anything other than the things that I'm already doing, which is insist and write emails to people, or sort of like, okay, could you please help me, could we do this, blah blah. And in the meantime, instead of feeling like I'm in a limbo, or I'm in a waiting room waiting for people to do what they were supposed to do, I am going to take initiative, which is what we're going to talk about today. So taking initiative sucks because I think, and we can all agree on that, on this, I would rather 100 times just like be lazy and not do anything and say, well, I can't do anything right now, so I might as well do something else, or just like be lazy and rest, or occupy my time with other things. But I realized that with this waiting room feeling, I've been also feeling super unmotivated with stuff. So it's sort of like contagious, because since people are not getting back to me, or they're not making, like, doing their part of the work, I feel really unmotivated to do my part of the work. Like, I'm very unmotivated in general. So yesterday I decided to stop this madness. Can you hear this? Okay. Stop this madness. I am slapping my leg like crazy, like an old lady, just to emphasize my point. Wait a second, I need coffee, guys. I love that. For a brief second, there's no noise but my throat just like swallowing coffee. Do you guys mind those noises? Anyway, I guess you can't do anything right now. You'll just have to endure the noises. Anyway, I'm done with this madness. Also, Ed helped me sort of like, he was like, you need to start like owning your days and do something about it and be productive again, because this could be like a vicious circle in which you feel motivated and people not getting back to you, and then you feel more motivated. Just like do the stuff. So yesterday, guys, I was freaking motivated as hell. I'm like, okay, I really don't want to work. I'm honest with you guys. Yesterday, I really didn't want to go to work, which is weird, like rare and weird, weirdish. So when I arrived to the office, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna own this bitch. And I wrote a list of all the things that I've been avoiding to do because I was lazy or scared or just unmotivated in general. And I put my Pomodoro app. This sounds, every time I say it, it sounds like a sponsorship. But it's not. Basically, if you have no idea, Pomodoro is a time management tool in which you're supposed to work nonstop, no distractions, for 25 minutes, and then you rest for 5 minutes, and then you work for 25 minutes until the end of times. There's many Pomodoro apps right now, all of them for free. You can install them on your computer, or even like use a freaking kitchen timer, like whatever you have on hand, just use it. The app that I'm using right now is the one Ed recommended me. It's called Jiro. Not like the sandwich, like the meat thingy. I think it's pronounced like that, Jiro. It's not Gyro. No, okay. It's G-E-R-O. And I just put that bastard on. And I started listening to some music from the 500 album challenge. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to write this list. And I wrote a list, guys, of all the things that I've been avoiding. For example, now that I'm going to launch my shop, these are very, quote, useless things, but I think they put me in a very good and awesome mindset. What are these useful things? Useless things. For example, I was thinking about making stickers for the launch of the website, sort of like the brand, and stickers that I can put on the first purchases as freebies, like as gifts. And also, I've been thinking a lot of doing labels for the shop, sort of like packaging wise. So for example, stickers for closing, tissue paper, or stickers for some of the t-shirts that I want to sell, sort of like tags or labels. And I've been putting it off for so long because I'm like, no, I am going to wait for this guy to have the website ready, and then I'm going to learn. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna do it right now because now is the time. I have this extra time on my hands. I'm gonna do it now. And yesterday I did all the bastards. I did all of the stickers, all of the labels. They're already in production. I designed them. It's not a very fancy design, as you can tell, because I took basically no time in doing them. But it had such an amazing feeling to finally do these things because I've been thinking about them for a couple of weeks now. So finally take them out of my mental list because I didn't even write that thing down. It was such a nice and addictive feeling. Feeling sounds like something you put inside a cookie, but it's what you feel. Me and my accent, welcome guys. After that, so this brand, my new website is going to have a name, and I've been considering hiring a lawyer for doing the whole trademark thing because I have never done this before, my loves. I never done trademarking or copywriting or anything with anything that I've ever done. None of my products. Franerd is not even trademark. because at this point, everybody knows that I am Franerd and I own the brand. So even if someone claims the brand, I have all of these years of proof that the brand is mine, even if someone claim it for me. Anyway, but since now this is going to be a new, like the website is going to have a very particular name, I'm like, okay, I need to know how to do this thing. And apparently in the US, it's not mandatory, but they always suggest to hire a lawyer in order to do the trademark thing. I've been always opposed to hiring people because it's so expensive, especially a lawyer, you guys. But I found lawyers who work only with small businesses, and I literally clicked the first link that I found when you Google lawyers, trademark lawyers for small businesses. That's one of the first links that I saw, and the guy was super friendly and chatty on the phone. And basically, I'm going to do this seriously because I know doing businesses in the US is trickier than in other countries because you're more likely to get sued or to have like legal problems if someone owns a very similar name for other companies. So I'm like, I don't want to risk anything. I don't want to like get into messy, like weird things. So that was something that I was really scared. Like, do you know when it's really, really late and you're falling asleep and you start thinking about, oh my God, what if I don't know, like I had this recurrent, not nightmare, but just like it's not even like an anxious feeling, but like this very scary feeling of, oh my God, what if I launch this website and someone, I don't know, already used this name before, or what if someone takes this name out of like off me and uses for others. I don't know. It's just like things that you have no idea you can't control, but for some reason you find yourself thinking about these things at like 1 a.m. in the morning. Okay, I'm finally doing that to avoid that horrible feeling, even though this is going to be expensive, guys. So only the hiring a lawyer is going to cost me like $1,000. $1,000. I could be do such fun things with $1,000, but anyway, I think it's an investment, and I seriously like I would I need to be able to trust someone that is doing the best job they can in order to help me. Otherwise, I will be like, oh my God, no, I can totally do this myself. It's like a visa application. Technically, you could file a visa application, but it's better to do it with a lawyer because they know what they're doing. Anyway, so that is something that it's been taking me like mental space off my mind since I actually arrived to the US and I signed in as a freelancer. So it's been really nice actually to tick this like list of things that I needed to do. And the other thing is, and they're still not getting back to me, but I need to hire an accountant or someone that helps me file my taxes. I know it's too soon to talk about taxes, but I don't want to wait until the last minute. So yesterday I started writing emails to accountants and tax advisors and stuff. I know it's really boring what I'm saying right now, my loves, but actually doing this and being so productive yesterday, it put me such in a such great mood. Considering how down and unmotivated I have been in the past couple of weeks, and still, like, even if I was unmotivated or just like in this weird mindset of like waiting room mindset, I was still showing up for work and was still filming videos and editing videos and talking to you and all of that. Like, it didn't take away all of my motivation, but I still needed like that extra spark. So, I've been also taking lots of pictures for the new website, like product pictures, the photo shoot that we had 2 Sundays ago. It was really, really nice. All of the friends that help us posing with the t-shirt, it was such a nice thing to do because now we have really cool pictures of people, really cool people wearing the t-shirts. I didn't want to be me the one posing with the t-shirts. Necessarily. So it was really nice that friends came up and help us with that. I am so lucky that so many people help us. And that has been my 2 weeks so far. Now, about the New Yorker, thank you so much for all of your comments, my loves. I was really just like worried about telling you because I usually tell people once something works out instead of waiting, like telling people right away. I don't want to spoil the surprise or anything, so that's why I'm like, should I tell the guys? Should I not tell the guys? And after on Tuesday, I went to the New Yorker office to the Condé Nast building. It's in Wall Street. It's the tallest building on Earth. I'm exaggerating, but it was a very tall building. And I felt so out of place because everybody who was there was really fancy. And so the New Yorker, if you have a meeting, you can go and show up, and the art director is going to take a look at your comics and illustrations, and they can give you feedback if you're fit for the New Yorker or anything else. And it's every Tuesday morning. So throughout the morning, you can show up and someone is going to see you. And I was really nervous because I told the art director I was going to go that day just to like put a face behind the email address. You know what I'm saying? Because we have been communicating for the past month or so, and I really wanted to meet her. And it was so surreal to be there because other cartoonists and illustrators were also there waiting for her to give them feedback. And my meeting, guys, was really brief, really, really brief. I talked to her at least, I don't know, like 10 minutes, which was really brief considering how long other people were in her office. The thing is that I didn't have anything new to show her because I already sent her batches of illustrations and comics in the past. So we were only talking about like things that I can improve because I keep getting rejected. The feedback that they give me all of every single time I send them something is, these are super strong and good, but they are not good enough because I'm not getting approved. So I just wanted to know how to improve and how to make the best out of it and how I don't know how to make it work somehow, or what am I missing, or I am very bad with punchlines, and since all of the sense of humor of the New Yorker goes around a punchline, it's very bad to be like a copy, like a advert. It's almost like advertising, the copy you do for advertising. It has to be witty, and there's a certain voice for the New Yorker that you're supposed to fill out. So it was a really nice meeting, really brief. But I think the most meaningful moment of that day was when I was talking to other illustrators and cartoonists. So before anyone went in, we were three beginners, so three cartoonists or like illustrators who have never been approved before, and this was our first time going to Condé Nast and going to the office. And there was another older guy there, and he has been published by the New Yorker, I think, 2 times or 3 times. And you could tell already he was like a very like the golden generation of illustrators in New York City. Because he was telling us about like how the old days worked and how in the past you were supposed to submit your illustrations by hand, like, or by mail. So we were supposed to send all of your comics and illustrations by mail. And he has been working for The New Yorker for 15 years, even though he's been only approved 3 times. And he kept telling us, because the another guy who was also waiting, Josh is not the older guy, he was very young actually, and Josh was like, could you please tell us some advice, because we're such new babies in this, he didn't use the word babies, we're such new babies in this, so any feedback or like words of encouragement. And the older guy was he was taking her his wallet off his pants. That sounded weird, but he was taking his wallet, and he removed very carefully a piece of paper that he was keeping in his wallet, and it was one of the New Yorker comics that he got approved. So for this guy, this was a treasure, and I could tell that this guy was like showing this to a lot of people, because the piece of paper was really like wrinkly. And he kept it on his in his wallet. But as he was taking it out of the wallet and he was showing it around, he was like, you need to have a unique voice. Then the New Yorker is only going to know it as you. If you have something unique to say, if you are you, so you have to be yourself. You have to put something new to the table. And it was something that resonated so much with me, guys, because at that particular moment, I realized that all of the submissions that I have done in the past, they have been drawing what I think they want to see, or like what the New Yorker publishes on a regular basis. So I've been adapting myself into that sort of like style and language. And even though I see myself on the illustrations, I see more of the New Yorker on what I've submitted. So that was such a nice feedback, really. And when the older guy was asked to come into the office, we were just like talking by ourselves, the new babies. And we were sort of like reflecting on what he said and everything. And Josh said, it's so interesting what he said, because I was reading an interview saying that the New Yorker needs new voices and like new people talking about other things from other perspective, but also keeping a balance for what the New Yorker is already known for, so to speak. So the older guy said that it took him 6 months to get his first comic approved. So I'm here, guys, for the long run. This is going to take me so long. I don't know if you can hear the train, actually, but it's going to take me so freaking long to do this. And this is not like me being like playing the victim or like being discouraging on myself, but if this guy took him 6 months to be approved, I have no idea how long it's going to take me. I'm still going to keep submitting comics and stuff. But going there, it put everything into a new perspective, because I'm like, oh, okay, this is a lot. Plus they get sort of like 1,000 submissions every week, because every illustrator is supposed to send 5 to 10 strips every day. Every Tuesday. So if 10 illustrators are already submitting, that's a lot. Is that 1,000? No, that's 100. That's 100. Anyway, a lot of illustrators submit a lot. So my chances are very low. I am still going to work really hard. But now I am facing this new challenge in which I need to discover what makes me, or what makes my illustrations and what I upload on Instagram me. and what's my voice, what do I want to say, and how can I complement that to what the New Yorker publishes on a regular basis. I have no idea how I'm going to do this, guys, if I'm honest. Okay. It's really hard to pinpoint or like to be really to narrow down what makes you. I think it's really easy when you see it from the outside. Like, I don't know, I can tell you already what makes Ed different. I can tell already what makes my mom different. But when you're talking about yourself, it's really easy to know how you're perceived and how people know you or like differentiate you from other people. So it's going to be a challenge to sort of like know what I want to say and how to say it and how to be authentic and not keep producing work that is going to be only to please them. Am I making sense, my loves? I love doing these reflections and like not reflections. That's not the word in English, because for you, reflection is something like to look in a mirror, but reflections in Spanish is like these thoughts. I love to doing this like weird I don't know, conscious dream with you. Please let me know your thoughts about this, because I would love to know what you think regarding like finding yourself and remain authentic. I guess it's something that we come across every day on social media, because you can tell right away when someone is Ed is here. You can tell right away when someone is trying to follow like a trend, instead of talking what they really want to talk or be really mindful for in regard of who they are and what they want to say truly. So yeah, it's going to, I'm not gonna lie, it's going to be hard. Anyway, in not so interesting news, I started my second beginners Japanese class, and it's been so hard, you guys, because my teacher, who I love, she only talks and writes in Japanese all the class. And that's really interesting when she's trying to explain you what, I don't know, demo means. So demo is butt, by the way. Not your butt, is like butt. BUT. Not BUTT. Anyway. And I also started the food co-op. I don't know if I, yes, I told you this before, but Ed and I are now part of a food cooperative. How do you say that? Like a food co-op here in Brooklyn. And it's been really nice, because if you do one shift a month, you get amazing discounts. And the food is really nice, and the community is really nice. And I had my first shift last Friday. I chose the 5:30 in the morning shift. I know it's insane, but I really didn't want this like the shifts to get in the way of my work. And they were like, "We really appreciate if you did the 5:30 in the morning shift, because even though it's really early, we really really need help receiving items from the trucks who arrive to the supermarket." And it was actually really nice, guys. I thought waking up at 4:20 was going to be horrible, and even though it is, like, I'm not gonna lie, you're tired. I found myself that I was as equally tired as if I was waking up, I don't know, at 6. So it was terrible, but it wasn't as terrible as everybody was picturing it. So yeah, it's been really nice actually to be part of the food co-op. The community is really nice. Everybody's super friendly. I have never seen people so happy and cheery at 5:30 in the morning. But not like fakey cheery and happy. They were like genuinely laughing, and everybody had inner jokes, because there's people doing this since the 70s. So yeah, it's been really nice, my loves. And that's it right now. I think I have to get ready? No, we're leaving in an hour, but it will be nice to also record the Spanish version of this podcast. Yeah, I think I'm going to continue drinking this amazing coffee. Coffee. I said it in a very Spanish way. plans for this weekend. Let me see. Tomorrow, guys, today for you, but tomorrow for me, Friday, I have to go to see two P.O. boxes, mailbox rentals that are near my studio because I recently moved my P.O. box address. I canceled the one that it was upstate. No, that's not upstate, but near Columbia University where we used to live. Because now that I'm here in Brooklyn, it doesn't make sense to have my P.O. box all the way up there. So I'm going to open a new P.O. box address. Just stay tuned for the new address. And tomorrow I need to go and see and check those places out, check the prices and which one I like the most. And for this weekend, I really want to sleep. And I think I'm going to meet some friends on Sunday, one for lunch, and the other one, I think we're going to play D&D. It will be my first time playing Dungeons & Dragons. I don't know what to expect, but Ed is really excited. He's been reading manuals and campaigns and what to do. I don't know if you know this, but Ed has been playing Dungeons & Dragons since he was 12. So, yeah, I know. But it's really cool because he's a really good, what is the word that you use? Like a master, like the one who talks a lot. He's been really good at that. He's really good. So those are my plans. I don't have anything else exciting to share, but thank you so much guys for keeping me company once again in this very gloomy, humid, thick day. Here in Brooklyn. I love you guys so much. Thank you for leaving comments and for being always so nice to me and for your love and support. I will see you every weekday because I always upload things on Lens. But until then, I love you and you're the best. Okay, bye.